Good morning, church. Happy Sabbath. I'm so glad to be here with everyone today. I am so glad to be here back with my home church family. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Denise. I used to come to this church, and you'll always be my church family, but at the moment I'm in Sydney doing some Bible working up there. And I wish I could share a bunch of awesome miracle stories, but hopefully another time. All right. Well, let me ask us a unique question. Hands up here, who has had their breakfast this morning? A few of us. Beautiful. Good start to the day. I did not, but... Well, I have some pictures here that I'm about to show us from different breakfasts around the world, and I'd love to see who can tell me what country that breakfast comes from. So if you know which country it comes from, I want you to just call that out. Let's see. British, yes. The UK. Good job, Almery. Classic, some would say. Australia, yes, avo and toast, that's right. Trickier one? What was that? Thai? Well, it's pho, so it's like a brothy soup had in Vietnam. Super yummy, and that's for breakfast, how good. Classic. France. Oh. I like it. He knows his breakfast. Very good. Yes, France/Argentina. Okay, so why am I showing you all these delicious options for breakfast? Well, other than making us hungry, sorry about that, I hope we'll be hungry for something that satisfies our soul. God asks us to taste and see that the Lord is good. This is a beautiful psalm. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him, for he is spiritual food. Friends, what are we feeding our hearts? Are we feeding it the latest Netflix dramas, the 6 o'clock news maybe, our favorite trend at the moment, even our favorite book? What are we consuming? And is it worldly or is it holy? Let's turn to Jeremiah 15. We're going to be looking at Prophet Jeremiah and his connection with the Lord. Jeremiah was called by God to warn the people of Judah to repent from their evil ways and to return to God. The Lord wanted to save his people from the oppression of their enemies. Prophet Jeremiah spent 40 years delivering God's message of repentance to a people who just did not want to listen. God even warned Jeremiah, these people would reject you, reject your message, and even because of this, their enemies would overthrow them. Church, when I studied this book, I was personally challenged by Jeremiah's journey. How could this mere just human man who after 40 years of persecution still be so faithful and devoted, filled with God's peace when hopelessness surrounded him. Jeremiah 15:16 says, "Your words were found and I ate them, and your word became to me the gladness and joy of my heart." Wow. This is what I learned, church. Jeremiah meditated on God's word. He consumed the bread of life, which sustained him. It became the joy of his heart. I look at Jeremiah's journey and I ask myself, am I truly allowing God to nourish me with his faithful word? Matthew 5:6 says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Friends, I don't know about you, but I want to be filled with the abundance and nourishment of the good word, just like Jeremiah. Without God's call on his life, he had no message to share. That's the exciting thing. This is what God was doing in his heart and in turn his life. This is also what the Lord promises he can do in our hearts and in our lives if we let him. While studying this book, I was impressed with the thought that Jeremiah really consumed the spiritual word, just like we actually consume our spiritual food, our physical food, sorry. I don't know if some of you guys are aware, but when we eat, there is quite a big process that takes place. First, the teeth, tongue, and saliva turn your food into this thing called a bolus. This is then like small and liquid enough to pass through to the esophagus, which is like your throat area. Next, the bolus enters your stomach, where muscular action, acids, and enzymes turn it into a paste. The paste then enters the small intestine, which is only then that absorption occurs. Through absorption, all the nutrients enter the bloodstream and it travels all the way through the body. Now imagine if we consumed the Word of God like that. Imagine if we read God's Word. We're allowing it to be absorbed into our hearts and into our minds, just like Jeremiah had it change the posture of his heart. It became the joy of his soul. Are we allowing the rich nutrients of this holy book over here to change us from the inside out? Ellen White says, "The mere reading of the word will not accomplish the result designed of heaven. It must be studied and cherished in the heart. The knowledge of God is not gained without mental effort. We should diligently study the Bible, asking God for the aid of the Holy Spirit that we may understand his word." Friends, the Lord has really taken me on this journey of having an appetite for the word. Just like Jeremiah hungered for the Lord, God has shown me what it means to be spiritually fed. By praying and asking for the Holy Spirit's wisdom, God has given me unveiled eyes to search and know him better. I used to read this beautiful book over here by grabbing it and just opening it to a random page, saying, "Hey God, show me what you want me to see today. What's the wisdom I need to know?" I choose one random verse and go, "This is it. This is going to change my day." And hey, look, sometimes it worked. This whole time, God was working in my heart, and I remember him asking me, "I need you to spend more intentional time with me." Fast forward to when I'm actually reading more, like the passages, chapters, I'm really trying to understand his wisdom. And then in the last few years, I discovered what it really means to be in the Word and to know my Creator. I had no idea that spending time in this book meant that you're actually spending time with Christ. In John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The Lord opened my eyes to his truth, and this set me free, church. I was, and I'm hungry to know him more. This is a spiritual journey that Jeremiah experienced and that we all experience, and I don't think we ever really come to a completion point. I've found personally that it's not always easy and sometimes it takes effort to put the Lord first because there are always temptations and distractions fighting for our attention. But I can promise you, the greatest reward and satisfaction for my soul has been putting God first every single day. It's been a heart change and a prayer I had to pray that the Lord make my heart pure, that I may serve him more. I actually asked the Lord, "Enlarge my heart so my character is more like Christ and set apart from the world." Friends, the heart is the physical generator of life, but also the life force for your spiritual walks. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life." Jeremiah walked with confidence and boldness, even though he was surrounded by a people who rejected him and rejected God's message. This was only possible because of his connection with the Lord. I remember when I first came to this knowledge of prioritizing the word, I spent a year every single morning reading the Bible before I went into my day. The Lord operated on me from the inside out to the point where people noticed. That is how I really knew. God is working and all I need to do is continue to be connected with him as a vine is to a branch. One day, my mom called me out of the blue, and I wasn't expecting this call. She said to me, "Your brother asked me what's happened in my life recently because he noticed a change in me." It was so unexpected to hear. She said, "He's just noticed that things in your life, they're going well for you. Everything seems to be working out. I was healthy. I had a positive mindset. I had this really great job. My life was changed for the better. I ended up calling my brother and getting to tell him how I was finally reading the word. I've actually learned about the fundamental truths from the Bible. I had started running and eating better to take care of my body because God showed me it's the temple of the Holy Spirit. I was learning about Sabbath and trying to keep it, which provided me rest and spiritual renewal. I was living out my faith by evangelizing and getting to enjoy fellowship with other believers. These were all ways God was working in my life, and as I put him first and said yes to his plan rather than my own. I confess to my brother, I'm finally learning the precepts of the Bible. I finally have my heart with the Creator." Psalm 51, 10 to 12 says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit." Once we've fed our heart, church, we need to make sure it's receiving enough nourishment. Here's an illustration of a healthy and a not-so-healthy heart. I'm sure we can tell the difference. So the Healthy Heart Foundation posted their research on what it means to actually have a healthy heart. They said it needs things like omega-3 fats, foods rich in fiber, vitamins and vegetables and fruits, and a low sodium and a low sugar diet. This makes up a sufficient diet with healthy nutrients, which all help reduce the risk of heart disease. Now, wouldn't it be strange? Pull this out. If you saw me drinking this little baby bottle of milk, that would be quite odd. That's not really a sufficient diet for me, is it? And I'm sure my heart would need way more nutrients than just some milk. So why is it that we sometimes expect that being filled by God's word only once a week would be enough? I remember when I used to think that turning up to church and hearing a 30-minute sermon would be enough spiritual food to nourish my soul. Is that what Jesus meant when he said in Ezekiel 3:3, "And he said to me, Son of man, feed your belly and fill your stomach with the scroll that I give you. So I ate, and it was in my mouth like honey in sweetness." Friends, I've been challenged with the idea of what it means to grow and mature in the Word of God. God wants to work in our hearts, our mind, and in turn our actions when we connect with him in the Word. We are called to teach, disciple, and witness of his goodness and faithfulness to those around us. But can we truly impart the wisdom of the Bible to others if we do not know it personally for ourselves? Let's turn to Hebrews 5:11-14. I might get it out of my Bible. Of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you've become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you've come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. How powerful. The author of this passage is trying to deliver the wisdom of the goodness of Christ with these Jewish believers. But he finds instead they've become dull of hearing. In other words, they've become lazy in connecting with their Creator personally. They're not interested in knowing Him. We see then in Hebrews 5:12, the author is proclaiming that these Jewish believers are still babes in the Word because they're not able to be teachers of it, but rather to need to be taught again the principles of the oracles of God. It's important to note, though, church, there's nothing wrong with being a babe in the Word. We've all been there. We all start off reading the word like a baby has its first meal. Pure milk, which satisfies. Then we progress to solid food, to the meat of the word, which challenges us and grows us more in Christ. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. We as believers are called to desire spiritual milk of the word, which leads us then to grow in the knowledge of our salvation, to become mature in knowing, sharing, and living God's truth as an ambassador for Christ. Friends, the Lord calls us to continue maturing in Christ and daily seeking to know Him more. We don't want to just know the Word, but for the Word to know us. The story in Exodus 34 beautifully depicts this point. Moses spent one-on-one time with the Lord at Mount Sinai. And because of this, when he went to meet with the Israelites, he came down from the mountain, his face physically shone with the glory of God. He reflected God's glory. This really challenged me. It challenged me to have a relationship like this, spending time in the Word with the intention to reflect Christ. In 2 Corinthians, God references the same text in Exodus. He promises that we have this hope, the gospel of Jesus Christ, which like a bright light will shine in our hearts and reveal the knowledge of the glory of God. The Lord promises that because of this hope, we are to be bold and light in a dark world. Friends, I've come to find that by having the Lord test my heart, make it upright in Him, that is the only way He can truly shine through me. So once we've fed the heart and filled it with the good nutrients of the word, we have a fueled heart ready to serve the Lord. Last year I was studying Acts, and I was particularly focusing on Paul the Apostle's mighty faith and his journey with God. In Acts 16, Paul sang praises and prayed to God while he was in jail. This was a man persecuted for his faith. He was sitting in jail with open wounds, shackled, contained to a small, dark, morbid, unhappy cell. And yet, this man chose to pray and sing praises to his God. When I read this, I just thought, whoa, how can this man be so joyful in this dire situation? And that's when the Lord convicted me. That's just like Jeremiah, the gladness of Paul's heart was his connection with the Lord. This particular Sabbath day, I was studying Acts 21, where Paul was arrested for his faith. He took this opportunity to defend his faith rather than defend his life. I prayed a mighty prayer that day, church. Give me faith like Paul. Warning, when you pray a bold prayer, be sure to expect a bold answer. It was this time with the Lord, in his word, that he gave me the desire and willingness to be an ambassador for him that day. A fellow literature evangelist, Andrew, was telling his testimony when I walked into church that morning. He made an appeal to the congregation. If anyone was interested in handing out glow checks or leaflets, to come with him that afternoon. And oh my, I knew in that moment, that is what the Lord needs me to do. I found myself getting worried, anxious. What will people think? This is too scary. Like, what if I'm rejected? This is so out of my comfort zone. But God reminded me of something. I realized that being bold like Paul meant I actually had to say yes to God and he will do the rest. This is a picture of the two guys I met with Andrew. So Andrew is the Ellie at the end, and these are the two guys that we met at Morisset train station. They were near the outskirts, playing the music, smoking on the side. But both Andrew and I, we looked at each other and we felt convicted that we need to go up to these two men. Friends, it's not always easy to be bold for the Lord, but all I had to do is say yes. And he promised that he'd do the rest. When we got to talking, this lovely man on the side beside me, he ended up opening up to me. And he shared with me his struggles. He showed me these scars on his arms and told me how he tried to commit suicide about 3 times. He confided in me that he had the Reaper visit him one night. Sorry. And he said that the Reaper told him that he wanted his life. The Lord really touched me in that moment. I didn't speak my own words. I almost don't remember what I said because God just spoke through me. I shared with him my testimony and the truth of the gospel. I shared with him about how wonderful, faithful, and loving our Savior is. He was so excited to hear about this message of hope. At the same time, that gentleman beside Andrew, he shared with us how he used to be a Christian, an SDA in fact, but he left Christ. He told us that his family had been praying for him to return to God, but he was ashamed. That day, the two guys decided to stay talking with us and miss their train. We were there for an hour, and he gave his life to God again. God has a divine appointment for each of us. He just asks us to be bold, to say yes, and he would do the rest. Church, let us remember that not only is our heart the essential organ which our bodies need to survive, but it's the core for our spiritual walks. Jeremiah was a bold servant for the Lord amongst the people who rejected him and rejected God's goodness. But the joy and gladness of his heart was the Lord. He daily consumed the word of God, and this, it sustained him. We don't want to just know the word, but for the word to know us. Once we've fed the soul, we want to make sure it's receiving enough nutrients. A nourished soul is filled with the milk and meat of the word. We want to continue growing, seeking, and maturing in the Lord. This prepares us to be bold ambassadors for Christ. This leads me to my final point. A bold heart is a fueled heart, spiritually fed and absorbed in the rich nutrients of the word. Sorry, my nose. Let your light. Thank you. I'm almost done. Thank you. Cheers for that. Let your light so shine before men. In Matthew 5:16, it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." The Lord promises to make us a new creation in Him by feeding, nourishing, and fueling our heart with His good word. We're allowing Him to make a heart change. Thank you.